I would like to dedicate this book to my family, the Carlyles, for our sacred bond and struggle. Its incarnation that is my very own family, my Catherine, and our girls, Evangeline and Elijah. Most of all, the family of fellow misfits on the island of the misfit toys. Anyone who's been rejected by this realm and its interpretation of your faith, but never by your Creator. To the repulsed, rejected, reformed, reaffirmed, the redeemed, your immeasurable worth precedes you. Prologue. So, I'm in bed with my wife, Catherine, and our two little girls with their sweet-smelling heads snuggled in between us. We're drinking our morning coffee and continuing a 5-day discussion about what I should name this book. Heroes and songs? Too reductive and music-y. The end of being alone? Way too depressing. Mainstream kid? Too insignificant somehow. The story? Really? Then I hear Evangeline's quiet little voice ask, "Mama, remember when you were poor? How could you afford horses?" To which I replied, "I couldn't. I was given broken ones." She says, "You should name your book Broken Horses." Chapter 1. Meningitis and the Early Education of an Empath. The Carlyles are nail biters. I started biting my nails at 3 years old. Everyone told me that if I didn't keep my hands out of my mouth, I'd get sick. I contracted meningococcal meningitis at age 4. We were living in Burien, Washington, in a single-wide trailer near the SeaTac Airport. It was our third house since I was born. I'm the firstborn to my family and the first grandchild on both sides, contributing to my inflated sense of self-importance and burden of perceived responsibility. My life really starts here. Before all that, though, my parents met at the Red Lion Hotel. My mother was a hostess, and my father was a breakfast prep cook. My dad is very intelligent and intense, with a sick sense of humor. He's one of 6 siblings raised dirt poor on a dirt floor by a single mom in South Seattle. He's got a father, too, but he and my grandmother divorced very young, and like many of the men on the Carlyle side, very rarely speaks a word. There are some quiet men in my family, but none as quiet as Grandpa Jerry. You can feel how much he loves you, but he probably won't ever say it. It almost seems like a genetic trait, this strange brand of anxiety and quiet intensity. He had a daughter later in life, bringing the number of dad's siblings to 7. My mother had a more comfortable childhood. She's one of 3 girls, and like her mother, has always been very charming and mischievous. She can read a room like no one else. She's vain, she loves music and art. If she's sunny and happy, then everyone else she meets is too. Her enthusiasm cannot be resisted. If she's not in a good place, though, you're not going to be either. To put it mildly, they're special and sparkly and complicated. When they met, my mom was 20 and my dad was 21. Mom's family had temporarily relocated to Colorado, so she moved straight in with the crazy Carlyle family. When my mother got pregnant with me, she and my father decided to get married. Like so many people who marry this young, they're still married, and in some ways, still very young. For this and many other reasons, we moved around a lot after I was born. 14 houses, actually, and a lot of different schools. It's deceiving because sometimes they were all in the same district. Beverly Park Elementary for kindergarten, then on to Hilltop Elementary, from there to Cascade View, to North Hill Elementary, to Olympic Elementary, and then back to Hilltop. Then there was Rock Creek Elementary, Tahoma Junior High School, Glacier Park, and that was all before high school. I don't think there was ever a housing transition I didn't want to make. There was always an exciting and dramatic buildup to the moving. Sometimes we moved because of evictions or job changes, sometimes for good reasons like a better housing opportunity or a step up in comfort, thanks to some connection that my charismatic parents had made. Either way, due to my frequently changing scenery and the undercurrent of chaos that poverty often creates, I developed somewhat of a photographic memory. It appears in all of its vivid detail right around the age of 2. Bedrooms change, the color of the wallpaper, the smell of a hand-me-down couch, the hum of a rental unit's avocado-colored refrigerator,